when you came to church today, you would have come with some ideas, some thoughts about what was going to happen here. You probably would have expected to see certain people. You would have expected during the service for there to be some worship, a sermon. And you most likely would have expected that you could have a coffee after. That's one expectation you would be really hoping would be met. The other ones, maybe, but that one, definitely. We live our life forming expectations about what's coming up. Next weekend is Easter, and I'm sure you've all got some expectations about what you're going to do then, what's going to happen then. Maybe you're expecting just to have a really relaxing time. You've got 4 days off work. 4 days? Yeah, 4 days off work. We're retired, so public holidays mean nothing now. But you've got 4 days of work, so maybe you think, oh, such a great opportunity to relax. Or maybe you've got all these ideas of things you're going to do planned. You're going to have a really hectic, busy time that you're really looking forward to. Even with reasonably trivial things, we have expectations. If you catch a bus to work, you go to the bus stop expecting the bus to come. Otherwise, you wouldn't bother. Greg and I caught a bus during this week. And while we're waiting at the bus stop, I started to wonder if my expectations of the bus coming was a bit optimistic. But fortunately, it did come. I was just a little bit late, but I was starting to think, maybe this wasn't so good. If you're doing something new, you say you're going to eat out at a new place that you haven't been to before, you'll have a certain expectation about it. Maybe someone's told you, maybe, oh, you've got to go and eat at this restaurant or this cafe, it's so good. Or maybe you've read a review about it, or it's a particular type of food that you really like. So you've got an expectation of what it's going to be like. Whenever we approach anything, we have expectations about it. When we look at what is ahead of us, what's coming up, we form certain views. We make plans in our mind about what we think it will be like. Even if we think, oh, no, I don't really do that. I just approach everything spur of the moment. I don't make expectations. Just think about how people groan when it's a Monday or get really excited when the next day is Friday because they've got certain expectations about those days. Years ago in Sydney, a guy we knew had a birthday coming up. And for some reason, he was expecting a surprise birthday party. Now, the whole point with a surprise party is you're not expecting it. But for some reason, he was. It was in a time, this just seemed to be in this period of time where there was heaps of surprise parties. We went to birthday ones. We went to a farewell party for some people that were going overseas. It was a surprise party. There just seemed to be lots of surprise parties. It just seemed to be the thing to do. And he'd got into his head that for his birthday, his wife had planned a surprise party for him. All during the day and into the evening, he was expecting something to happen. Either a whole lot of people to just turn up at his door or some ruse to get him out of the house so they could set up for a party or to get him to go to some other person's place because there was a party there for him. But his expectations were wrong and he was left confused and disappointed. There was never any intention of a surprise party for him and nothing to indicate this was going to happen. Expectations are formed from past experiences or from what we've heard or been told or researched. With this guy, he based his expectation of him getting a surprise party on the fact that there'd been a lot of surprise parties around that time. It made sense to him that for his birthday, there would definitely be a surprise birthday party. He ended up not having a very good birthday because his expectations weren't met because they were wrong. Expectations can shape how much we enjoy or don't enjoy something. If you go somewhere you expect to be really good and it isn't, it's more disappointing than if you went along not expecting much from it. We went to Tasmania nearly 10 years ago. It was our first trip there. And for us who aren't travellers at all, it was a really big deal. We had big expectations. We were going to drive around the island, land in Hobart, drive around and end up back in Hobart. And we're stopping at all these various places on the way. And we had these big expectations about what it would be like, what we would do there, what fun we'd have, which would have been fine, except we got sick at the beginning of the trip. And the first half of the trip was a total waste. I certainly didn't expect to be in Cradle Mountain, which is a beautiful part of Tasmania, and all I saw was the inside of the cabin we were staying in. It was very disappointing when our expectations weren't met because of something we didn't expect. We have expectations of people too. You expect your family, your friends to act in certain ways or to be a certain way. It can cause hassles when they don't meet our expectations. Because, of course, they're the one that's wrong, not our expectations. It's obviously them. When you meet someone for the first time, you form certain expectations about them when you first meet them. Maybe on the way they look, the way they speak, the way they act, maybe even what they do, where they're from, who they know. You will form certain expectations about that person. When Jesus came, there were lots of expectations about him. The Israelites were meant to be expecting Jesus. In the first chapters of Genesis, God told them that he would send a saviour, that he would send this saviour. So they were meant to be expecting this saviour. Throughout the Old Testament, there were lots of prophecies about the Messiah that would come, where he was to be born, what he was do, what tribe he would be of, what he'd be like, what he would suffer. Jesus fulfilled these prophecies. The Israelites had this knowledge to base their expectations on. Although they should have been expecting a Messiah and they should have seen that Jesus was the one, when he came, not many people realized who he was. Their expectations of a Messiah were wrong or unclear, and because of this, they didn't recognize who he was. In John 1, 10 to 12, speaking of Jesus, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." When Jesus was born, the wise men who came to visit him went first to Herod's palace. They were expecting a new king, so it made sense to them that the king would be in a palace. They brought gifts. They wanted to worship him. Jesus wasn't where they expected. He was living simply with his family in an ordinary village. There was no pomp or ceremony, even though the King of Kings had come. The wise men didn't let their expectations cause them to miss out on seeing Jesus. They were willing to change and to go to where they needed to worship Jesus where he was, not where they expected him to be. They didn't go, "Well, he's not here, we're going home." They sought out where he was, even though it was different to what they expected. In John 1, Jesus calls some men to be his disciples. One of them was Philip, who tries to get Nathanael to come along too. Nathanael's expectations discount what Philip is saying. When Philip refers to Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael's response is to say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" This was even though Philip had said that Jesus was the one that Moses and the prophets had written about. Nathanael's expectations were based on where Jesus was from, that he couldn't be the one God was sending if he was from Nazareth. Philip doesn't argue. He tells Nathanael to just come and see. He wants him to forget his expectations and see who Jesus really was. When Nathanael does this, he realizes the truth of Jesus. He declares, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He sees how wrong he'd been, how he'd formed his expectations on the wrong basis. People can miss out on things because of their expectations. We see this here with Nathanael. If he hadn't bothered to go and meet Jesus, he would have missed out on seeing who he was. When Jesus visited Nazareth, where he'd grown up, the people there dismissed him because of what they thought they knew about him. In the synagogue, Jesus read a passage from the prophet Isaiah about the coming of the Messiah, and he declared to the people that this was fulfilled in him. Their reaction was to ridicule what Jesus said. This didn't fit with what they knew of him. He was the carpenter's son. His family were in their village. They'd seen him grow up there. He couldn't be anyone important. They didn't look at and consider what he'd been doing or listen and think about what he said. Like so many others, they had their expectations of the Messiah, of what the Messiah would be like. And it wasn't going to be someone from their village. They discounted Jesus because he just didn't fit their expectations of what the Messiah would be. Because of that, it's said that he didn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Their expectations prevented them from seeing who Jesus really was, and so they missed out. The Pharisees had certain expectations of the Messiah, and Jesus didn't meet their expectations. When Jesus came, he didn't spend time with them and commend them for their strict religious observances, which is what they expected the Messiah to do. Instead, he condemned them for their lack of compassion and mercy and for zealously following their laws instead of seeing what God intended. They criticized him because of who he spent time with and what he did. The Pharisees didn't expect the Messiah to hang out with the ordinary people. They considered themselves better than sinners, which was anyone who wasn't like them. And they expected the Messiah would be like them. When the woman poured perfume on Jesus when he was at the Pharisee's house, that Pharisee doubted that Jesus could even be a prophet. Because if he was a man reasoned, he would have rejected that woman. Jesus spending time with sinners, going into their houses, eating with them, welcoming them, was definitely not the behaviour the Pharisees expected of a holy person. They didn't look at who Jesus was. They didn't see that what he was doing was the fulfillment of God's love, mercy, and purpose. Their expectations blinded them to the truth of Jesus, and these expectations weren't based on fact. They should have known the scriptures and the prophecies that had been given about the Messiah. They were learned people. They'd studied the scriptures. They were more caught up in their own interpretation of it, and they failed to recognize Jesus. Jesus didn't meet their expectations. So rather than them changing, they discounted him and opposed him. The Pharisees hated the one they should have worshipped, so much so that they joined forces with their enemies, the Sadducees. They joined forces with these people they didn't get on with at all to have Jesus executed. The Sadducees saw Jesus as a troublemaker, someone who threatened the cozy alliance they had with the Romans. So they had to get rid of him. They expected that anyone who gained a large following was intending to overthrow the Roman rule, which is what some of Jesus' followers expected and hoped that he would do. They didn't look at what Jesus said. They didn't look at what Jesus did to see that he was bringing God's kingdom, a heavenly kingdom that was far beyond any earthly kingdom. The crowds that surrounded Jesus had certain expectations of him. They liked it when he met their expectations, when he healed them, when he fed them, when he said things that pleased them. But they weren't happy when he didn't. They expected Jesus to fit in with them. They were pleased when he condemned the religious leaders who put such harsh burdens on them, but not so pleased when Jesus challenged them to live according to God's ways. In John 6, we see that many listening to Jesus complained about what he was teaching. Not long before, Jesus fed them with the loaves and the fish. Then he told them he'd come down from heaven and he was going to give his life for them. He was the bread of life and they needed to feed on him. They said that this was too hard for them. The idea of feeding on him, even for those who realized he was speaking symbolically, suggested a sacrifice. And this wasn't what the Jews thought the Messiah would be. They were still expecting a conquering leader who would restore them to their rightful place. This wasn't the Jesus they expected to see and hear, so a lot of them left him. They weren't interested in the spiritual truths that Jesus was teaching them. On what is known as Palm Sunday, which is today in the Christian calendar, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The crowds cheered him, crying out Hosanna and throwing palm leaves on the road in front of him. All this was fulfillment of prophecies about the Messiah. The crowds were ecstatic. Here at last was the promised one. Here at last they would be set free. Yet a few short days later, the same crowds were calling out, crucify him. Even when they were given the choice for Jesus to be set free, they wanted him killed. We see here the incredible reaction when expectations aren't met. Jesus hadn't done what they expected the Messiah to do, so they turned on him in frightening rage. They didn't see the freedom they needed was spiritual, not earthly. This year, our theme is aware of God's presence. It's important that if we're going to be aware of God's presence in our lives, that we know and examine the expectations we have of him to make sure that they are correct. If our expectations of God are wrong, we will struggle to know his presence with us. Have you ever spoken with a person who says something about God? They might quote or possibly misquote from the Bible to back up what they're saying, and you know what they are saying is wrong. It's not what God has said or what God wants or what God is like. But they are completely sure they are right, and they won't be convinced otherwise. What they have done is form their own expectations of God and haven't checked if they are correct or not. I remember talking with a person quite a while ago, a lovely lady, who said she and her family used to go to church, but they'd stopped going. But she said they had good, strong morals, and that was what was important. Jesus didn't come to give us a list of moral behaviours we had to adhere to. That's what the Pharisees tried to do. He came to show us God the Father, to show us our own sinful and lost state, and that through him, through his sacrifice, we could have peace and forgiveness and gain eternal life. Certainly we are to live morally, but that comes from a changed life as the Holy Spirit makes his presence in us and shows us how to live. The danger as Christians is that we can put our own expectations ahead of who God really is and what he wants to do in us and through us. We expect God to act in a certain way. And when he doesn't, or if he doesn't, we blame him rather than realising it was our expectation that was wrong. What we expect God to be like can influence how aware we are of his presence. Sometimes people see God as some sort of all-year-round Santa who's going to give them whatever they want. They just have to ask and they'll get whatever they want. They forget that even though God will provide for us, even though he knows our needs, he calls us to put his kingdom first, to honour him above all else. Others might see God as some sort of hard taskmaster they can never please, and they just need to try and keep out of his way, that God's just there watching and waiting for them to do something wrong, and then he's going to really stamp on them. While God will punish sin, he has provided a way for us to be forgiven of our sin through Jesus. He wants us to come to him, confess our sin, and he will cleanse and restore us. Others see God as only concerned with the big things in life and not interested in our everyday life. They feel they have to struggle on their own through life, that God doesn't care about what happens to them. They forget that Jesus taught that God knows us completely. He has given us the Holy Spirit to be in us and with us, who will teach and direct us, that God does care about every part of our lives. Towards the end of John's Gospel, he stated why he had written the things he did. He wrote with an expectation, John 20, 30 to 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John's expectation was that by reading his words, we would not only come to know about Jesus, but we would come to know him. John wanted us to put aside wrong expectations of who Jesus is or why he had come and look at Jesus and see and know him in all his fullness. The trouble with expectations is we treat them as truth or fact. Because we expect something to be a certain way, we believe that that's just how it is. The Pharisees were prime examples of this, but all of us do it in various ways. How many of us have had an argument with another person because they didn't act how we expected them to? We can get angry or defensive if our expectations are challenged, and we claim it's the other person's fault, It's not our expectations that were at fault. It was obviously them. They just didn't get it. They're just not right. We disagree because we each have different expectations about something. And we think that's how it should be. And obviously the other person is wrong and they don't understand. We can base our expectations on incomplete information, on what we would like to happen, on what we think is true, rather than actual truth. Jesus came to show us who God is. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He showed us how to have peace with God. He gave us the Holy Spirit so we can live in a way that pleases God. He said the Holy Spirit will teach us what we need to know and lead us in the right way. In that way, we can have the right expectations about God and know how to live our lives. All of us need to examine the expectations we have about God. We need to learn what the truth is from the Word of God, the example of Jesus, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Make sure that your expectations of God are based on truth, so that you know his presence with you and live in the life and freedom that Jesus came to bring and gave his life for. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you showed us, Lord, who you are. You showed us the Father, Lord God, and you gave us your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you'll help each of us to examine our hearts, to really call on the Holy Spirit to show us what is true and what is not, so that we know you, Lord God, as you are. We know what you do, Lord God, in the way that you do it. Help us to put aside wrong thinking, wrong expectations, Lord God, to when things don't turn out the way we think, help us to examine whether our thinking was wrong. Lord, and to really see you in the midst of everything. I pray that each one of us will be so aware of your presence with us in what we do each day, Lord God, in the joys, the sorrows, the big things, Lord, the little things. Be with each one and help us to really see you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.